The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
You've just got to ignite the light and let it shine just on the night.
Let's hear from a few more of the folks in line. What about you, sir?
Well, Bob, I'm a lab technician for a leading pharmaceutical company, but I was born with a gift. That gift is to sing.
'Cause baby, you're a firework.
All right. Let's see now. Wait a second. Proceed out.
Gunther, where are you?
Yeah, this is me.
Is Rosita still here?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm here.
So, what should I do? I could partner you up with Gunther.
He's gonna spice things up on stage.
Wait, you want us to sing together?
Yeah, the two of us together? You joking me? We're going to be spicy, no?
Rehearsals begin first thing tomorrow morning. And if you want to become stars and win 100 grand, then you better be ready to work harder than you've ever worked in your life. So get some sleep and dream big dreams.
Hey, how was the big meeting?
No.
That bad, really? Well, I have something really exciting to tell you.
You make the best pie, honey.
Hi, I saw your ad in the paper. Yes, I need a nanny, just for a couple of weeks. You can? Great. The kids, yes, they're wonderful. I have 25. Listen, Norman, I know it's short notice, but I could really use some help with the kids tomorrow because, well, you are not gonna believe what I did today.
Like a plastic bag, drifting through the wind, wanting to start again.
La 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 la.
Norman, would you please tell them what a good singer I am?
Do you ever feel so paper thin?
Look at me,
like I'm
Lonnie. Casper, get off the table. Bye, Carla. Bye, Gail. Bye, Rory. Bye, Mickey. Bye, Mo. Bye, Nelson. Bye, Hannah. Bye, Tess. Bye, bye, Casper.
Rehearsals begin first thing tomorrow morning. So get some sleep and dream big dreams.
All right, good morning, City Place Church. How y'all doing this morning? Good. Y'all are looking good. I know it's hot in here, but it's all right. Y'all cool as what we used to say, polar bear's toenails, so y'all be all right. All right, if you're not that cool, just find somebody that is cool and sit next to them, and you'll be all right this morning. I'm Pastor Jared. My wife and I serve as the Generations Pastors, and the clips you just saw were from the motion picture called Sing. Sing is an animated film that came out not too long ago, and it is a favorite in my household. We watch Sing probably more than we should, probably a couple times a day. We love to sing the songs, but if you ever have kids, you know that's how it works. They find something they like and they beat it to death. All right, good. The character that you guys saw primarily is Rosita. Now, Rosita, maybe you can identify with her on a couple of different levels. Rosita wears a lot of different hats. She has to be a lot of different things, so a lot of different people at all times. And she's really just trying her best to make it through life. You see, I can relate to Rosita on a lot of levels. You know, number one, I can relate to Rosita because Rosita is pink, and I am pink. All right? And if you don't know if you are pink or not, when you get hot, if you turn red, you are pink. Okay? If you get sick and you turn green, you're a pink person. All right? If you hit a pink person, they turn purple, okay? All right? If you don't know you're a pink person, There you go. All right, so I can relate to Rosita because she's pink and also because she's a Porky, and you know what I'm saying? It just seems to collect right here. So I know some of you guys, maybe you can relate or you're in denial of that one, but you know, just a lot of different levels. And I can relate because Rosita's got a lot of kids. I feel like I've got a lot of kids. Right. So, you know, those are all just some lighthearted things that maybe, you know, I can relate to Rosita, but maybe you relate to Rosita on a lot of different levels. That maybe no matter where you go, there's an expectation of you to wear different hats wherever you are. So be it professionally or personally, you have to be all things to all people, it seems like, at every given moment. And that feeling is what I want to address this morning. And our primary focus is going to be found in Mark chapter 6, verse 11. Mark 6, 11. Now, we're going to be moving a lot in the Bible today. So if you can turn that fast right on. If not, I advise that you take notes because this will be something that you can go back home and apply to your life. And again, our primary focus is Mark 6, 11. Mark 6, 11. Mark 6, 11 reads, "And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." I'll read one more time. "And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." Find somebody close to you and say, "Shake it off. Shake it off." Look at that. Find that other person that you chose to ignore and go back to them and be like, "I know I didn't choose you first, but shake it off." Somebody, maybe you need to grab yourself this morning, and it's a little warm in here, so you're feeling sleepy, and you need to shake yourself and be like, "Hey, shake it off." All right, shake it off. That is the title of this sermon today, is Shake It Off. Now, shake it off. When I first read Mark 6:11, I thought it was peculiar that Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he told them, "I want you to go into all the surrounding towns and villages and minister, and I'm giving you all this power and authority, and you're going to do great things, and I want you to go to every place and give it everything that you've got, and once you've given it everything that you have, if they don't welcome you and they don't receive you, knock the dust, shake the dust off your feet, and keep it moving." And when I first read that, I was like, okay, I know Jesus, all right? Jesus is a bad dude. And he wasn't saying knock the dust off of their feet to keep their Jerusalem 11s clean, okay? There had to be something else at play. And it sat with me for a long time. And I was like, God, there's got to be some kind of significance to shaking the dust off. What did you mean by that? Like, I get it. It's got to be so much more than just wiping my feet off of the doormat. It's got to be something else to that. So, God, what did you mean when you're saying knock or shake the dust off of your feet? And when we look at how God made mankind, then we can establish a distinct difference between the dust and the person doing the shaking, because there's two variables at play in that. And Pastor Damon must have got a hold of my notes this morning, because I was about ready to shout them down when he was encouraging us. Because if we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord formed man from the..." All right, yeah, all right, you guys are with me a little bit. Let's try it one more time. "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So the distinct difference that I want to establish before we move any further is through this lens of dust, okay? The dust is something that is formed. It can have shape, but it doesn't have God. It doesn't have the life of God in it. So a lot of times as people, we can be a little dusty. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're a little dusty this morning. You're a little dusty." Some of y'all need to calm down. You're a little too serious with that, okay? You were just kind of a little harsh. Reel it in. Reel it in. That dust is simply being void of God, being void of his spirit, being void of his breath. And so we can say here that if we operate in a place that is absent of the Spirit, then we are operating in a place that is of dust or is of earth. That is the difference here. So anything in your life, anyone in your life that is absent or void of God is simply stirring up dust around you. And if you're not careful, that dust will begin to collect on your life. Y'all with me so far? Come on, let me hear a little amen. We in here. Amen says is simply like, yeah, that was good. I like that. I agree. All right, so feel free to say amen at any time. So those are our focuses. So we're looking at dust being absent of the Spirit of God, or being a living being, being that God's Spirit is present within us. Now, the thing that we have to think about when it comes to shaking it off, all right, we're going to shake it off. We're looking at Rosita shaking it off, is that Rosita lived a life that was very full, but she was very empty. There wasn't a lot going on for her on the inside. And a lot of times we can be busy, like Rosita, doing tasks, completing different things, and being different people to whoever needs us. But if we're not careful, we can slip into this pattern of doing life, but doing it absent of God. And so therefore, we begin to slip into this place of dustiness. And what I want to give you this morning, if you're taking notes, is I want to give you 3 points to focus on to shake it off. 3 things that you and I need to be aware of as believers to shake the dust, to shake the things that are void of the Spirit off of our lives. The first thing is, we have to acknowledge that we have a purpose. You and I, we have a purpose. We have a purpose. We weren't just created just to simply be here. All right, we weren't created just to live and die, and then that was it. But you and I have not just any kind of purpose, but a divine purpose. That God, being divine, had created us before we were ever born. In our mother's womb, he knew us. He designed our lives for us, and it's up to us to either dive into the purpose or simply ignore it and just be a little dusty. Now, some of you might think, Pastor Jared, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Has anyone ever thought that before? I can raise my hand. God, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't even know why I exist. And a lot of people do a lot of soul searching to find out their purpose in life. Some people sell all of their possessions, and they go and find this place of zen or meditation, and they travel the world trying to find out what is their purpose. Well, I want to let you know this morning, I'm about to reveal to you your purpose here this morning. Everyone in this place, you're going to leave here knowing what your purpose is. Amen? Right on. Don't worry. You don't have to pay a fee. You don't have to fill out an algorithm. You don't have to take a survey. We don't have to go through this and punch in this formula to find out what your purpose is. All we have to do is simply refer back to the Word of God, because God reveals all things through his Word. And here in Isaiah 43, verse 7, it says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Our purpose is found right in the middle of this text. It says, whom I created for my glory. Your purpose is to give God glory. Plain and simple. That's as easy as it comes. Your divine purpose, the reason that you were created, is to give God glory. Right? All right, I got a couple people that aren't it. Some people, the revelation is seeking in. Say, I'm going to give God glory. Some of you need to be convinced. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, I'm going to give God glory. If somebody close to you looks like they're still playing it in their mind, find them and say, hey, I'm going to give God glory. Come on, y'all, come on. I'm going to give God glory. What does that mean? That means that you and I need to start practicing giving God glory in everything. That his Word tells us that in all things do it as unto our Father, our Heavenly Father. That we need to begin to learn to live a life of glory. And that as we begin to walk this thing out, as we begin to apply this practical application in our lives, that we seem to become more efficient at things, that God begins to reveal things to us, that we become more blessed. I'll give you an example that earlier this week, I decided I would set this time apart to seek God, that I would say, God, you know what? I'm gonna pull back. I'm gonna withdraw from a couple things and just give you this whole day just to kind of pray and seek you and find out more about you. And I just want to spend more time with my Heavenly Father. Well, wouldn't you know it, that I decided to do that. And then all of a sudden, I had to drive on I-4 about 5:30 in the afternoon. And I said, well, glory, all right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We're going, whoo, we can do this. And so we get going to I-4, and traffic is kind of busy, and we get to where we're going. And I'm like, man, that all right. You know, we had no major issues. I'm going to turn around, come back. Coming back on I-4, you know, traffic has opened up a lot, so we're moving. Everybody's going, you know, the speed limit. And so we're going down, and I'm in the left-hand lane, and I'm like, man, I cannot wait to get home. Like, we're going to have a good time tonight. We got some family coming over. This will be good. And so I'm driving, and here comes this guy from the far right lane. There is no one around. I repeat, no one. And for some reason, my man merges from the far right lane to the far left lane, which is where I'm going, the speed limit, all right? Okay? This person decides to come all the way over into the left lane, and you know what they do? They slow it on down. Don't hit the brakes, they just coast. Like they forgot their cruise control worked or that the pedal on the right is the acceleration. That they just kind of slow it down. And here we are on I-4 going 45 miles an hour in their fast pace, all right? It comes back and forth. And all I'm sitting here is thinking, I want to be up this guy's tailpipe. I'm going to turn on all my lights, honk my horn, let them know what time it is. And then when they look in their rearview mirror, I'm going to give them the sign language signal that you need to get out of my way because you're being silly right now. But then God said, how about you figure out a way to give me some glory right now behind the wheel? So I slowed down. I gripped the steering wheel real tight. And I put on my church smile. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to learn about you. And so when they look in their rearview mirror, I'm smiling. I'm here. And no, you're good. It's okay. Yeah, no, you're doing fine. You're doing great, bud. You're doing great. You're doing great. And even when I saw an opportunity to get over, I was like, nope, I'm going to remain patient. Maybe they were just waiting for a good opportunity to get out of the left lane. And we rode for a few miles this way. And I said, God, I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to give you glory behind the wheel. And so I got over, not aggressively like I wanted to. And I got back up to the speed limit. And I was like, thank you, Lord. My exit is in 2 miles. We gone. And wouldn't you know it, this guy wanted to try me one more time. Because I see this dude, all of a sudden he found out where his gas pedal is, and now he wants to accelerate. And in my mind for a moment, I thought, okay. You know, I was ready to go here. I was like, you know what? This is a perfect opportunity for him to learn a little bit of what he just put me through. And it crossed my mind, hey, why don't you just get over into the left lane in front of them and then you slow down because your exit is coming up. And so you do enough just to get them angry and then you're out. How many of you know I'm the only person that likes to drive that way, that naturally I'm an aggressive driver, that would have felt very satisfying. All right, I would have felt really good about that. I got one witness. I appreciate that. Y'all pray for our pastor. It's all good. But instead, in this moment, I chose to give God glory. Now, that seems really silly, right? It seems kind of silly that why would God want my glory in traffic? But what you're doing is that you're developing a habit of giving God glory in everything that you do. That, yes, you can give God glory even behind the wheel. You can give God glory with whatever it is. When you are on the job and you have to send out those reports, you can still give God glory. How? By doing it on time and doing a good job. That you can be a good steward over these things, and it begins to develop a habit within you, a purpose that is giving God glory. Give God glory, and you have to acknowledge that that is your purpose. You'll never be able to shake off anything if you don't acknowledge your purpose in life is to give God glory. The second thing that we need to focus on when it comes to shaking things off is that we need to relax. You need to learn to relax. You need to prepare your mind to get ready to relax. One of my favorite songs right now says, throw some perm on that attitude. You need to relax. When I heard that, I was like, this is amazing. If you don't know that song, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's all right. But find somebody and say, you know what? I'm going to throw some perm on my attitude because I need to relax. It's a true story, guys. We need to learn how to relax. And I'm not saying relax as in we need to take a vacation. But we need to learn how to get to a place in our minds where we are relaxed in our thoughts, that we're not so uptight. And you know, our physical body can handle a lot of stress to a certain point, but it's hard to measure how much mental and psychological stress you can handle until something breaks. But if we begin to learn how to relax our mind, everything will begin to fall into place. Has anyone here ever been just to this place of being exhausted? That you were tired, that you were sleepy, and only thing that you could think was, I cannot wait to get in my bed, to lay on my couch, or just sit down in a comfortable place for 5 minutes because I am so tired. I've been running ragged. If I could just catch a break. And wouldn't you know it, that when you get that opportunity to rest, you lay down, and what happens? You can't go to sleep because your mind is going a million miles an hour, that you're thinking about every little thing. And no matter how tired you are, how much you convince yourself that I just need to close my eyes, if I just close my eyes, I'll be able to go to sleep. But your mind doesn't allow you to escape and become relaxed because our mind is the place where it all begins. When we overthink everything, it's really useless. Let's be real. It really does us no good at all to overthink. And honestly, it's exhausting. It's exhausting to overthink every little thing, every situation, every relationship, every interaction, that when we begin to replay and rethink and try to think, well, this way and that way, that you wear yourself out. And it doesn't get us anywhere. We don't accomplish anything. You know, while you're sitting there stressing about every little thought and your body is screaming for rest, you're not accomplishing anything. You're not getting any rest, and you're not doing anything about the thoughts that are running through your mind. You are in a you're in a dead zone. You're going nowhere. You're doing nothing in this. And Jesus himself warns us about this mentality in Matthew 6:27. In Matthew 6:27, Jesus says, "Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life?" Some translation says it can't add a single cubit to your height, or you can't increase in your stature. You can't be any better than you are by stressing out or worrying about anything. That no matter what happens in your life, if you choose to stress over it, if anything, you're going to lose some time off of your life by stressing. If anything, you're going to lose some of your position by stressing over things that really, in the long run, don't mean anything at all. And when we worry and when we stress, all of these things come down to one root emotion, if we're honest. That one root emotion is fear. That's the real reason why we worry. That is the real reason that you and I can begin to stress, is because of fear. And we may not want to acknowledge it. It may not be in the forefront of our mind, but down in there, we are acting this way or reacting this way out of a place of fear. Some of us have a fear of missing out. My oldest son, Elijah, is 4, and this boy has a fear of missing out. I have no idea how late he will stay up, but I would like to try one time. And it doesn't matter what time he goes to bed, 6:30 a.m., 7 a.m., my man is up in our face wanting to know if he can play games on our phone or eat fruit snacks for breakfast. Boy, if you don't get your tired self back in that bed and go to sleep. He has a fear of missing out, and that seems so trivial as a child, but a lot of us as adults are doing the same thing. A lot of us as adults have a fear of missing out, that we are so insecure with who we are, or this misconception of who we think that we are, that we try to be everything to everyone because we don't want to miss out on a single opportunity to be validated by someone else by saying, hey, that was a good job. I appreciate you being here, and you're running yourself ragged because you're afraid. That some of us have a fear of not measuring up. That we overextend ourselves because we are concerned or we are fearful about the way that we'll be perceived by other people. We're afraid that the reality of us not being good enough by ourselves will come to light. And so we run ourselves to the ground trying to avoid this fear. Some of us have a fear of letting people down. You have a fear of letting your family down, of letting your children down, of letting your employer down, that you have this phobia that you can't ever miss or do anything or take a break or take a breather because you don't want to let anyone down. Or maybe it's just a fear of failure or a fear of rejection. Rosita deals with that a lot in the movie, that you see that she deals with this fear of not being good enough. She deals with this fear of not being able to be a good mother to her children. She deals with this fear of not being a good enough wife for her husband that doesn't seem to pay her a lot of attention. She has this fear of not being able to successfully complete or execute the task that is at hand because there's something inside of her that is stirring that wants something more than what she's ever had before, that she wants to try and apply herself in a way that she never has because she has this dream. She has this purpose inside of her. And a lot of us, we have this purpose in us, and we have this fear that our purpose, our potential will never be met, that it will never reach its fullest. And so we have this fear. But I'm glad that we have this in 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. There's nothing to be afraid of in love. And it reminds us, but perfect love drives out fear. Again, talking about the mental state of mind, that perfect love drives out all fear. And so our focus shouldn't be on our perfection, but on His. Our focus should not be on our perfection or lack thereof, and more so focusing on God's perfection, because He is perfect, and He has already made everything all right, and He is right. He has taken every wrong that we've ever done, even before we did it, and made a way for it to be corrected. That when we focus on His perfect love, on His perfect will for our lives, on His perfect purpose, then all of a sudden our hang-ups don't seem to be such a big deal. Right? Because if we're focusing on Him, then we're focusing on Him being the thing that brings it about, and less, it takes less of the pressure off of us to make it happen. Focus not on our perfection, but on His. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Again, relaxing in your mind, shifting your focus to God and His ways, and not the immediate situation that's playing out in front of us. Because if all we're doing is focusing on our disappointment, our hurt, how that one person did us, how they treated us, then all we're going to do is stay right there, and we're not going to focus on God's purpose for us. It's hard to give God glory when we're focusing on the here and now and the struggles that we're enduring. So again, relax your mind by setting it on things above and not on earthly things. Exodus 4:14 tells us the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And when I was preparing for this message, this one text alone hit hard with me. Because people that don't relax are always busy. People that don't know how to relax always have to have something to do every waking hour of the day. But here, God is trying to instruct His people on leaving the affliction of the Egyptian and leaving slavery and entering into this perfect rest that is His promised land. And He's letting them know that I will fight for you. All you need to do is be still. And maybe some of us here this morning that you and I need to learn to take a moment and just be still. Just pump our brakes and slow down a little bit and be still. That we need to learn to take that moment, that rest of unplugging for just a second and being still. Then we talk about yielding to the Holy Spirit. Well, on the roadways, when you yield to oncoming traffic, you don't speed up and cut people off. What you do is that you make sure that your pace is enough to slow in and fit right in behind the people that are coming before you. And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit, that if we'll just take a moment and be still and allow us time to find that rhythm of God, to find that rhythm of the Holy Spirit, what we can do is tuck in right behind Him and be right in the going flow and the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. Because when you just jump in that thing, what you do is that you begin to interrupt a rhythm. You begin to interrupt a flow, and all of a sudden things aren't seeming to flow like they should in your life, that things aren't going as easy as they should. It's because a flow has been interrupted because we haven't taken the time to be still, let the Lord fight for us, and then just fall right in line with the rhythm that He has for our lives. Amen? Let's take a look at Rosita when she reaches this place of breaking where she can't handle enough, and she has basically done everything but quit and thrown in the towel of her dreams. And she is at a place where she is just exhausted. She has had enough. And what she is getting ready to do is to be still and find her rhythm. Let's take a look at this clip.
Shoppers are reminded the store will close in 15 minutes. Thank you.
Bamboleo, bambolea, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así. Bamboleo, bambolea, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así. Bamboleo, bambolea, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así.
Sometimes I pray, Lord, let my spirit life be like Rosita in the grocery store, because that was epic. And you see how she still got everything accomplished that she had to do, but it had a different rhythm to it, that it was a little more exciting than it ever has been before. And a lot of times when we apply our purpose to our life and we relax our mind and we just be still and let God fight for us, that all of a sudden we find ourselves doing everything that we were doing before as far as being mom, being dad, being employer. But all of a sudden, it has a different rhythm to it, and it's a little easier for us to accomplish everything that is on our heart and everything that is before us, because we're in a rhythm with the Holy Spirit. And so the next point that you need to think about when shaking it off is just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go, because when you don't let it go, what you're doing is you're holding on to dust. You're holding on to things that don't give God glory. And when you hold on to these things, everyone around you gets a lesser than version of who you are. When you don't let it go, your kids aren't getting the best parent that you can be. When you don't let things go, for my teenagers in here, when you don't let it go, then your parents, your teachers, and your peers aren't getting the best version of who you can be. That you're struggling a lot with your identity because you're so focused on the dust and holding on to everything that happened and everything that somebody said, that you just need to let it go. Letting it go can be a beautiful thing, and it can be painful at the same time. Can I get anybody to say amen to yes? Sometimes letting go hurts. Sometimes letting go is a little uncomfortable because I've gotten so used to the dustiness in my life. I've gotten so used to the clutter that is my life that I just thought that that was my natural rhythm. But when I let go of things, I'm a little insecure about it because I've begun to shape my identity around the things that I'm holding on to. But I need to let go of it, because if I let go, then my life will begin to blossom and become more beautiful. But you're going to have a little pain in the process. But if you want to shake it off, you're going to have to let it go. A duster doesn't do any good if it doesn't let go of the dust after it picks it up. Because I'm going to have to throw it away, because you are only good for that one use. But if you want to keep on being able to do this thing time and time again, in and out of season, every single day of your life, then you're going to learn how to shake it off and let it go. Shake it off and let it go. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, forget the former things. Somebody say, forget about it. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, forget about it. All right, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Don't live there. Don't live in that circumstance. Don't live with that conversation or that argument that you guys had. Don't make your camp there. Let it go and keep it moving. Because if all you're doing is you're dwelling there, then you're not living anymore. You're living in the past and you're not moving forward. And Isaiah goes on to continue to prophesy in our lives and say, see, I'm doing a new thing. So that thing that you thought that it was, it no longer is. That it's something brand new. His mercies are new every morning. God is doing a new thing in your life. You see, that interaction that you had with them previously isn't the same interaction that you had before. The circumstances seem the same, and you're mentally preparing yourself for this battle to get in this mudslinging fight of collecting dust. But God said it's something new. And that the new thing he wants to do begins with you. See, I am doing a new thing. Paul reminds us in Philippians 3:13, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I'm so glad that he used the word straining because he lets me know it ain't going to be easy. Okay? What's easy is holding on to it. What's easy is thinking about how good I used to be or how bad things used to be. But if I begin to put some effort in this thing and I begin to strain and struggle a little bit, then I can move forward. That advancing in your life is not going to be easy. And if you thought that it was easy, then I want to know how your workout routine is if you thought that that was going to be easy and you were just going to lose the weight and fit into those pair of pants. Come on now, it's not easy. It's going to take some discipline and you're going to have to strain forward to advance. That advancing is the difficult thing. The easy thing, the way to cop out, is just to hold on to everything the way that it used to be. That C.S. Lewis said it this way, and I thought it was a great quote. Getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. I was at the playground with my kids yesterday, and they're starting to learn a lot about the playground and the monkey bars, and they're starting to grasp that if they want to advance from here to there, at some point, something's got to give. That either direction that you want to go, forward or back or backwards, you're going to let go of something. That whether you're advancing or declining, you're going to let go of some things. But in a painful experience, if you want to move forward, you've got to let go. You've got to let go of things. And I want to show you this last clip, and as I show you this last clip, I want the praise and worship team to start coming up. This last clip is Rosita. She has learned to shake the dust off of her life, and she has learned to let everything go. She has found her identity and her purpose, that she is relaxed in her mind. She's no longer stressed about hitting this step, hitting this mark, making this note, or being this presentation, that she's finally at a place where she can shake it off. Let's take a look at Rosita.
It's like watching Jell-O dancing around.
Huh, like you could do any better, Pipsqueak.
Hey, you want to see something great? I'll show you great.
Heartbreaker's gonna break. Baker's gonna bake. I'm just gonna shake.
Come on out, worship team. It's a beautiful thing when you learn to shake it off. You begin to have a different appeal to everyone around you when you learn to shake the dust off. That everyone in your life will begin to perceive you in a different light when you learn to shake the dust off of your life. Ephesians 6:15 tells us, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." This is the importance to shaking the dust off of our feet. Is that God didn't tell us just to shake it off so that we could keep our feet clean or so that we could have all these great things, but what he's really trying to protect in your life is your peace. That when we're told to put on the whole armor of God, that it tells us to ready our feet with the gospel of peace. And when we don't shake the dust off, the gospel of peace becomes distorted. Peace in our life seems to be hidden. That we seem like we can't find peace anymore because it's actually covered in dust and we haven't taken the time to shake it off. When was the last time that you shook the dust off of your life and found the perfect peace that God has for your life? John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Because his perfect love, it drives out all fear. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And we just saw that clip, and it looked like it was a lot of fun, but in actuality, to give you the context of the venue that they were going to use at this point is in absolute ruins in this film. That it's absolutely destroyed. They are basically out on the street doing this. That it's no grand facade, that everything didn't fall into place like they thought that it would. But when you and I have the peace that surpasses all understanding, then it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter where we find ourselves, because what we have is the perfect peace that has driven out all fear, and we have this rhythm and this flow of our life of shaking the dust off. And so everyone can look and see that we don't have the spotlight or that we're not on the major stage, but it doesn't matter, because what we can do is we can make sure that we are in the rhythm, that no matter where we are, high or low, that we're operating in this perfect peace. So church, can I pray with you this morning as we draw to a close? I just want to pray for your peace of mind, the peace in your soul, the perfect peace that God wants to give us, and not this peace that the world tries to offer to us, not this secondhand, feel-good kind of peace, but I'm talking about the peace that grabs you, it takes a hold of you, and it comforts you, and it says, "I know it doesn't look good, but you're going to feel all right about everything because you know that I have your back. That you know I'm going to see you through this thing. That the righteous have never been forsaken. That God has got your back through this ordeal. And he's going to grab a hold of you and he's going to remind you, shake off the dust in your life. Let it go this morning." So if you could you just close your eyes and focus on yourself? Maybe you want to bow your head and look down. And as we're here and we're drawing to a close, I want you to ask yourself, be real, be transparent. How much dust are you collecting in your life? How much hurt of the past experiences, of the wrongs that people have done to you, are you holding on to this morning? And how much of that is interrupting the perfect peace that God wants to give you in your life? Maybe you find yourself losing sleep. Maybe you find yourself offering a lesser version of who you used to be. All you can think about is how happy you used to be, how good you used to be at this thing, how much you used to enjoy being.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.